There are writers I admire but could never possibly emulate, and there are writers that inspire me because, in my loftiest dreams, I think that I just might. As a writer of historical non-fiction, I take pains to unearth those obscure details which bring a true story to life. But for real authenticity in historical depiction, I am in awe of Beryl Bainbridge. In her slim historical novels, she blends meticulously researched facts and convincing character studies with such a light and deft touch that her works seem more true to life than anything in history books. Of course, we have no way of knowing whether the Samuel Johnson she conjures across 200 pages of the novel, according to Queenie, is more accurate than the literary giant whom Boswell lionises in his 1,200-page biography. Yet her shambling, shuffling, growling grouch, with his zigzag progress and oyster eyes, who is beset by a flesh-and-blood black dog and tortured by gout, feels more real than Boswell's noble, pompous friend who is forever ready with a polished quip. Depicting Johnson's long and strange friendship with Hester Thrale, partly through the eyes of her daughter Queenie, she creates a Georgian London we can see, hear, taste and smell. Bainbridge scatters historical details with a sparing pen. She never lingers over wigs or carriages. Instead, she selects banal or bizarre characteristics and occurrences which feel immediately both familiar and real. Johnson skims orange peel across the lake and wriggles his swollen toes like a child paddling in seawater. When he first meets Mrs. Thrale, he notes her sparkling eyes and penetrating wit, but also the leakage of milk from her right breast. The beleaguered Mrs. Thrale, who is perpetually pregnant, slaps and pinches Queenie in vexation, while philandering Mr. Thrale is found slumped over the remains of a large turkey. And the imperious Queenie, who is both plain and mightily assured, speaks with all the pomposity of a child prodigy. Asked by one character how she is, she replies, "Grandmama is soon to die, but I am prepared for it." Bainbridge deploys this magical mix of historical accuracy and wild imagination just as assuredly in The Birthday Boys, her dark evocation of Captain Scott's doomed expedition to the South Pole in 1912. Told sequentially through the voices of Scott and the four men he led to their deaths, the novel foments the tensions and camaraderie of the expedition team with a precision that seems entirely human and utterly realistic. Just as in her pictures, which often depict scenes from her books, she paints this bleak world of snow and ice with a vivid palette. The ice is never purely white, but tinged with rose and cobalt blue and every shade of violet, while the sky blazes with silken curtains, yellow, green and orange, billowing at the window of the heavens. And no doubt drawing on her experience as an actor too, she inhabits her characters with an extraordinary depth of feeling. Although controversy still hangs over the true circumstances of the failed expedition, Bainbridge's version of Scott, who blames his teammates, the weather, the equipment, the ponies, and infernal bad luck, in fact everything but his own incompetence, rings as true as any biographical portrait. For her ability to seize precisely the right historical detail to fix a story in time and place, Bainbridge is a true inspiration.